Good morning. This is the first episode, our premiere, if you will, of WGXC's We the People. And I'm your host, Tom DiPietro. Maybe I should tell you what this show is going to be about now and in the future, and what we have on schedule for today. First of all, despite the name, this is not a show about constitutionalism. That, since the phrase, of course, comes from the preamble and has been appropriated by political constitutionalists. Not that I have anything against the Constitution. The show is going to be about local politics with guests to discuss what's happening here in the beautiful downtown Hudson as well as in Columbia and Greene counties. In fact, next week, 2 weeks from now, since the show is every other week, the first, the third, and the fifth Thursdays of the week at 10 a.m. Cecilia Katchik will be on soon to discuss she's the state senator from the other side of the river, and she will be on to discuss the Democratic agenda as outlined by Governor Cuomo in his annual State of the Union address. For this segment of the show, we are trying to bring you up to snuff on what's happening with the Columbia County Airport. This requires a little background for those who might not have been following this important development in the county. It began a while back when it was announced that the Board of Supervisors had decided to proceed, well, this sort of shortens it a little bit, had decided to proceed with eminent domain against Carmen Nero, the owner or part owner of Meadowlands Golf Course in Ghent. The issue involved was the airport runway. The problem is that to land certain and take off, for jets of a certain size to land and take off, they need a longer safety zone. And the plan, as first proposed, would be to buy Carmen Nero's property, or part of his property, in order to extend the safety zone on the northern end of the runway. Mr. Nero was not satisfied with the proposed amount of money and rejected their proposal. And the county, as embodied in our Board of Supervisors, then authorized a eminent domain taking, which means they would have to go to court in order to prove that it was in the public interest to take Mr. Nero's property in order to extend the safety zone of the airport. By the way, anything I say on this show, I'm happy to hear corrections or amplifications. I'm not a professional journalist. I'm not a politician. I'm a concerned citizen and really just want to get the facts out and understand what's happening in our community. Anyway, after these early announcements of and proposals about the airport, there was an outcry from the citizenry, partly because no one could understand why the airport was proceeding the way they, I mean, why the supervisors had decided to proceed the way they were. There was, it was shrouded in mystery, the whole issue. There was very little information being revealed to the public. And things seemed, on the whole, somewhat shady. Now, if you, I previously substitute hosted Victor Mendolia's At Issue show a while back while he was running for office. And at one point I had Art Basson, the supervisor from Ancrum, on, as well as Mike Benvenuto, who was the supervisor-elect. Actually, at the time, I don't think he was elect. He was running for supervisor from Ghent. Ghent being, of course, the location of the airport and the community most directly affected by airport activity. At the time, Art Basson, as a supervisor, was, as we discussed on the show, quite surprised in the lack of information being revealed by a number of entities, including not just the county attorney, but Richmore Aviation, who operate the airport. The information about what the FAA rules actually were about safety zones. What else? The and a number of other things. The point was, it required or inspired a FOIL request, that is a Freedom of Information request, by a number of citizens in order to really understand why the county felt this sudden need to expand one of its runways. Not to mention, although this fact is hard to ascertain, what the actual cost would be to do this and who would be paying. Subsequently, I have to say, having attended a few of these meetings, that the CEO of Richmore, Malin Richards, a quite delightful fellow and apparently forthright, surprised a number of people at a meeting or so ago when he announced that he didn't quite understand the process either. In fact, he has proven, as we'll get into it a little later, that he's happy with one of the alternate proposals. Also, as he pointed out in last Thursday's meeting, that was December 27th, much of the financing for this project will come from an FAA funds, the Federal Aviation, that's a good question, Federal Aviation Authority? I'm willing to be corrected on that, that's for sure. Anyway, it's a fund paid into by various airports and airlines. Now, that doesn't mean there are no tax dollars involved, but it does mean the burden on the taxpayers is less than one might expect. Now, there have been all kinds of numbers tossed around about what it would actually cost, and that's something that will be taken up at has been taken up and will be taken up at future meetings. Anyway, back to the general narrative. What happened then is, in response to the community outrage, Pat Gratton, the chair of the Board of Supervisors, assembled a committee to look further into the airport issues and to open these committee meetings to the public. I attended the last two. I think there was one or two before that. And the committee is constituted with six sitting members. Art Basson, who I mentioned earlier, the supervisor from Ancrum. Mike Benvenuto, who now is, in fact, the supervisor, as of yesterday, the supervisor from Ghent. Art Baer, Hillsdale's supervisor. Mike Benson, the new Lebanon supervisor. John Pereca, who we shall see has had a major influence on the course of these events. The supervisor, he is the supervisor from Greenport. And David Crawford of Crawford Engineering, who I believe is, he was not a supervisor, but is there representing the Office of Economic Development, headed by Ken Flood, who has been noticeably absent from most of these meetings, even though he's not required to be there. He was in various ways one of the promoters of this, of the original plan. The meetings are usually attended by the county attorney and many interested parties. One of the most prominent groups involved is the Citizens Against Noise Nuisance, or Ghent Can, mostly composed, I think, of residents of Ghent, not surprisingly, who in the past have had issues with the airport's noise levels and have also come out in response to other local issues, such as the proposed power line that would run through our county. As I said, Pat Grattan put together this committee in response to the citizenry. And for this show, I'd like to play you some of that meeting if I can figure out this board here and my and how to play segments from the December 27th meeting. This meeting had a singular purpose, and that was to present information that two members of Ghent Can ascertained by through their FOIL requests. They FOILed the FAA and a number of other sources and came up with thousands of documents that speak to the development and history of this situation at the airport. The meeting later opened up to some other issues, but this was really the gist. It was an opportunity for Patty Matheny and Michael Schramm, husband and wife, by the way, and also people whose properties abut the airport. So, of course, they have a direct interest in what happens there. And an attorney, Ken Dow, who I believe is was hired by them to handle their FOIL requests and then, of course, made the presentation in the last meeting. Now, I'm going to try to play part of Mr. Dow's presentation. I haven't been having luck with this computer here, but let's give it a shot. Not very interesting yet, but perhaps we'll get to it shortly. Let's see. Thank you. Sorry about this slight technical difficulty, but I think we'll get it shortly. Hold on 1 second, please, while I try to set this up. In the meantime, enjoy this little piece of airport music.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song. Let me sing for
we have it now. Bear with me. As I said, I'm neither a journalist nor a very computer savvy. I should have added that. But let's try this again now. That doesn't seem to work. Let's listen to a little more Frank Sinatra while we get this underway.
Fill my heart with song. Let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for.
Okay, here we go one more time. Sorry, listeners.
Presentation by the FAA.
Oh, well, I think we're going to have to skip that, and I'll try to summarize instead. Sorry about that. Kendall's presentation was the idea. He spoke for about a half hour or more. And by the way, I should mention, all of these meetings are now archived at the station, WGXC.org. So if you want to hear that meeting, and you know, they, as meetings go, they can be quite tedious. As you heard, there was a lot of background information there. We tried to clean it up. I'm not sure what happened there, why it's not playing properly. Anyway, we'll get, promise it'll be available on the internet at WGXC.org. Instead, let me summarize since I was there. Kendall's purpose was, as he put it, to show the way to a more optimal solution for the airport. Hold on 1 second, please. I think we might have the audio now. Anyway, Mr. Dow, for one thing, he wanted to make sure that the idea was to bring the airport into full compliance with the FAA requirements. He also suggested that the various requested FOIL information showed a number of confusing items, especially in terms of how it planned to deal with obstacle easements that would be required by the original proposal. The original proposal would affect not just the land owned by Mr. Nero, but also some 12 plus property owners whose properties affect the flight patterns because of the tree lines. Now those people were hold on 1 second, please. Is that, I think we have Ken Dow's presentation coming up. I hope so.
Every email
after email. I've never seen our name. In an original 2001 proposal put forth by the engineers, CNS consultants, they outlined the various property owners who would be affected and came up with some rather hard-to-understand figures of how much it would cost. One of the points of Mr. Dow's presentation was that the estimates of the proposal for extending the runway, I mean extending the safety zone, was ridiculously high and could be done much more cheaply in a number of ways. First of all, they pursued and found support for a proposal offered by Supervisor Pereca, which involves a number of details that we needn't go into, but involved less of the property of Mr. Nero being taken, certainly none of the property that is crucial to his golf course, and also property south of the runway. The point of Mr. Dow's presentation was that this would, of course, be in full compliance. All the planes that Richmore would like to, and jets that Richmore would like to run would still be able to fly. There would be fewer needs for buying easements or paying for easements from all the local property owners, and hence there would be, it would cost much less money, the entire project. As seen in the original 2001 proposal, these properties other than the Meadowlands, not only were the estimates for buying the easements or paying for the easements rather lowballed, the owners had never been notified. In fact, in the early negotiations over these properties, only Carmen Nero had been contacted. Granted, there was a difference. That is to say, Carmen Nero's property would have been land, and these other property owners would only have been asked to give up air easements, which is not to diminish that, but it's not quite the same as trying to take property. Further, Mr. Dow made clear that no matter which proposal is followed, there will be encroachment on certain wetlands. Now, it was suggested that that's not an issue because it is perhaps some of the land is government-owned and therefore would easily get a pass to do that. Let's see. The Pereca proposal, which is seen by many to be the, quote, the best all-around solution, as Art Bassin pointed out, as I said, would probably, according to the estimates of Ken Dow, cost much less money. It involves shifting the whole emphasis to the south of the runway, and which also raises the flight pattern so that it doesn't encroach on as many treetops, which are defined as obstacles. Also at the meeting, there were a number of questions about, well, first of all, the Board of Supervisors is continuing to interview lawyers who specialize in eminent domain. Now, that troubled a few participants in the meeting who were afraid that that meant that they were indeed going ahead with eminent domain in the case of Meadowlands, when in fact all they are doing, according to Art Bassin, is interviewing eminent domain lawyers, assuming that they will need them in the future. If they don't, there's no money being expended. This is just a interview process. Other questions raised at the meeting included the quality of the engineering consulting firm, who have been sort of the spearhead, or at least the who at least provided the documents or the proposals at the request of various entities, including the Board of Supervisors and, of course, the Economic Development. The CNS, as Art Bassin suggested, if they are presented with the alternate, what we'll call the Pereca proposal, will either adapt to this new idea or, you know, it's always possible that they will be replaced. Interestingly, Patty Matheny pointed out that among the documents still not by the county are the actual CNS contracts. What it is, I suppose, what would be found through that is what exactly they were hired to do, how they are paid, what they are paid. Other questions from the floor included, someone wondered if there'd be a referendum on this, but of course that's not the case. There wouldn't be. It's not that kind of exercise in direct democracy. It's more importantly, we now have a level of public disclosure that hadn't been there before. Others, local bloggers, a local blogger wondered about these easement figures, but Chairman Bassin dismissed that as quite irrelevant to the day's conversation. Another sort of off-topic question was about the airport's revenues. That actually will be a subject in future meetings. It was kind of off topic that day, and but it seems to be a question worth pursuing because it's not clear. Actually, there are alternate ways of course, accounting when does something make money or not. As I said before, the airport is operated by Richmore Corporation, headed by Malon Richards. And he's been a willing participant in all these discussions and has helped us understand the actual activities of the airport by providing such things as, you know, the amount of flights, what people pay to use the airport, what his main business is, and his such things as his sale of fuel, all the things that go into his business at the airport. So this meeting came up with a truly viable compromise, so to speak, about the airport, although not to be dismissed was Patty Matheny's suggestion that maybe given what the cost of this all will cost and the amount of jets that are accommodated by this proposal, whether it's the modified proposal or the original proposal, it seems entirely out of proportion. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, there were 200 jet flights that came in, and regardless of which proposal we take, it's anywhere from $2 to $6 million being expended. Well, that obviously doesn't seem to satisfy any honest cost-benefit analysis. In any case, I'm sorry that we didn't get to hear the audio. If you want to hear it, it is and will be posted, as I said, at WGXC.org. Now, for the second half of the show, I'm sorry that I'm glad it's a snowy day, and which means not many of you are in your cars having to hear this slightly botched edition of We the People. But I hope the second half will be much better because I will have on the phone Patty Matheny and Michael Schramm. So in the meantime, one more time, we'll enjoy a little airport music.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand.
He's on the line. See if it...
Hi. Okay. Let me get you on... Oh, we're on the air. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Okay, I'm on the air with Patty. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, let's see. You're not coming over the air. This will be just one more bit of confusion. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Patty, there? Okay. Oh. Let's see. Let's try that.
I can hear you now.
Oh, great. That's perfect. Yay!
Good.
I didn't screw up everything. Did you get a chance to hear so far?
I did, yeah.
Okay. Please correct anything you think was inaccurate. I have to admit I was kind of stumbling because our audio was not working for the meeting.
Right.
And I would have much preferred to have Ken Dow say it all himself.
Right. Well, maybe they can listen to the audio. And we do have the presentation. I think I will. Are we on the air now?
Yes, we are.
Okay. I will tell everyone that's really that's interested to actually read it, not that you shouldn't listen to the radio, but you can go Art Basson at abasson@aol.com to be on the airport committee email list.
Yeah.
And he will update you with the actual written presentation and any other minutes and notes from the meeting.
Right. And some of those documents included the flight pattern obstacle course. You know,
correct. The easement list, the list of easements and a new map with the modified Parika plan and then the entire presentation from Ken Dow.
Were there any highlights from that presentation you'd like to mention other than what we've discussed so far?
I will let Michael, my husband, talk a little bit more about the presentation. He's on the phone, too. But first I will say that it's very important to note that the property owners had not been noticed for 10 years. No one, including us, had ever heard about the easements that were needed. And it also includes tree removal, not just, overhead flight easement. It includes removal of many hundreds and hundreds of trees.
Right.
And then I also heard that you mentioned that it was an FAA required by the FAA to do this quote-unquote safety zone. It's actually just a recommendation by the FAA. It's not required. We've seen all the documentation for that. And then another...
that was part of your file request.
That's correct.
Yes.
And the other... the other issue is, we are getting the information finally from the FOIL request, and I can't let it go without saying that we did have to file a lawsuit against the county in order to obtain this information, because otherwise they were stonewalling me for since February of 2013, which is last year now, almost a year, and until we hired an attorney and presented a new FOIL request, we were completely stonewalled. As were many Board of Supervisor members. I've been reading minutes and going to meetings for a couple of years now, and when I would hear different supervisors asking for this information, and it was never, to my knowledge, they never got it until now. So it's unfortunate that we did have to file a lawsuit in order to obtain the information. As you said, we really need, I think there is now, we do have some public input and all the information is slowly becoming available to everyone, but it's unfortunate that the county stonewalled us for as long as they did.
Were there other? Now I understand from Mr. Dow's presentation that there were thousands and thousands of pages of documents.
Yes.
Were there some of the revelations I've mentioned? Was there anything in there that hasn't been mentioned that you think is worth highlighting from that?
Other than not specifically, other than the contracts, I do think that because even though I know that it wasn't part of the last presentation, as you mentioned, I think that Sam was correct when he asked. I mean, it really does matter, and it matters to us in the end. We helped to develop Mr. Parika's plan, but as I said, and you mentioned at the end, I don't really support this plan unless they can substantiate some of these numbers that they're coming up with. Or, one of the supervisors in the meeting said that the airport makes money. We see absolutely no evidence of that. Although it does appear that we're still missing some information. As I mentioned, we don't know. We know that last year, CNS was paid upwards of $170,000. I'm not clear on whether the FAA reimbursed them for that, and I don't know how in years past we could not find any clear sort of profit and loss statements for the airport. It's very, very confusing, and I think he did start his presentation by saying that it's really confusing what the numbers are, and also the number of flights in and out. And if we're talking about, and when they talk about an operation, that really means a landing and a takeoff. So they double whatever they're saying when a plane lands, they and then it obviously leaves. They count that as two operations, not just one. And so it's a little misleading when you come up when these numbers are presented.
Well, mm-hmm. One of the things that throws the numbers off a little bit for us is you take a large international airport like Albany International, mm-hmm. which it's stated that their flight operation number is 70,000 a year. And if you look at that compared to what we're saying here at Columbia County Airport is 20,000, it mm-hmm. seems very difficult to fathom that. And I think most of the people that live within a couple miles of the airport will tell you that we go days and days without mm-hmm. any flights.
But of course, part of the original economic development proposals was that they were trying to expand the airport to become comparable to Albany.
Correct. That's what. And now they're saying that isn't what they were doing. I think Mr. Fred called it grantsmanship, I think, yes. is what he called it. But yes. it was very clear in the grant that they were going to intensify airport operations and expand the airport. And we're not clear, and we've asked for this from the beginning, even before the FOIL, what types of planes actually need a 5,000-plus foot runway. Mm-hmm. And is it really, because we do know that we understand that Flanders and Whittier do fly in and out of the airport from time to time, but I don't believe that either one of those companies have a Gulfstream, you know, G5.
Mm-hmm.
It appears to me, as Mr. Bear mentioned, he flies in and there three times last
yes,
year.
Yes, and he was quite proud of it.
Yes, he's quite proud of that, but... The bottom line of that is he's only, you know, I don't know what kind of plane that hit this company he mentioned. I don't even know the company.
Seneca Foods.
That's right. What kind of plane they even have, or what kind of plane, if they actually need that kind of runway. It's my understanding from the research that we've done that most corporations do not fly G5s or large jets. I mean, those would be a couple of charters or privately owned jets that come in and out, but those are very, very infrequent. And so that's going to skew the numbers once again. I mean, we think it could be as low as, you know,
right.
one a month, so literally. And are we really doing all of this just for these one or two jets that will come in here? And are there any corporations out there, which is what I've specifically asked Ken Flood, do you know of any corporations that would not land here or would not build their mm-hmm. put their company here because there wasn't an airstrip 5 minutes from their house?
Or their business.
I mean, their business. I'm sorry, your house.
Well, yeah, and also, you know, through the last 30 years, the word that has been sent around through the community, you know, is that they would like to get some kind of a big air company to come in here and be a distribution center, etc., which in a couple ways that's very difficult. The airport is built on wetlands, so it's very difficult for anyone to build other buildings on the property without getting wetlands mitigation, which could double the cost.
Mm-hmm.
That's difficult in order to expand the business there. And, you know, I don't know if why UPS or FedEx would fly in here and then drive all the packages back to Albany, which is kind of what everyone is
now,
talking.
Are you saying, though, that Ken Flood and Economic Development Office have sort of backed down on their idea of expanding the airport to be comparable to Albany?
Not that we've heard. They haven't really said what their ideas are. They just...
That should be coming up
in another meeting. Okay. What their idea is and what the real value of this is. But I keep asking for something to support their claims that it is of economic value or to see some numbers that would support
yeah.
it. You know, it doesn't appear to me that there's any real hard evidence that it's a good thing. And I also think that there's many people think that this isn't what we want in a community anyway. I mean, this is—it's already been developed around the airport, there's lots of homes in development, and I can speak to this. I'm happy to say that we don't want more jet traffic. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'm the only one. I think even people in Hudson talk about the jets flying over and rattling their homes. And this is not the kind of community we are. I don't think it's really the best economic plan for the future of Columbia County.
I should mention that the future meetings include one on January 8th,
mm-hmm.
at which Dave Robinson, who is, what's his title exactly?
He's Department of Public Works.
Public Works. And the engineers from CSS will be, will be present.
That's correct.
And then on January 20th, we will hear about this economic development issue, and the ever elusive Mr. Flood apparently will be there.
Apparently, that's what I understand, that he will be there with some numbers, and I do look forward to hearing what CNS will say about this plan. We did a lot of work on it and came up with some maps and some information that really I'm sure that weren't out there. Especially these obstacle easement mm-hmm. maps that were prepared, like I said, in 2001, and we've actually spoken to all of the property owners on that list. There's about 12. Homeowners or property owners, but there's also, I think, 21 or 22 parcels of land. And we've spoken to all of them, and none of them had ever been notified. Other than Mr. Nero, no one else on the list had ever mm-hmm. been contacted.
Do you think they were just waiting to settle the deal with Carmen and think in the thought that that would make it easier to get get the obstacle easements?
Yes.
And that's what Ken had mentioned as being a possible segmentation issue.
Right.
I do think that's what was going on, because in the very first meeting, maybe you weren't there, but Mr. Robinson was in that meeting,
and
we brought this up at that meeting, or I did, and he said, we're not too concerned about that. We think we may have some quote-unquote other ideas for, instead of taking easements or cutting down trees. And as you heard in this last meeting, one of the ideas, it appears, he did not say it in that first meeting, that was maybe three meetings ago, you heard that his idea was to put red lights in the top of the trees, which I don't know where he came up with that. I don't know if that's a CNS or an FAA. I mean, I've never heard of such a thing. I can't imagine I can't imagine that you could put red lights in the top of trees. But it seemed like it was a serious
idea. I think there's a line in the FAA guidelines that recommends putting lights on obstacles. I don't think it means trees. I think it means on towers.
Right. And that was, of course, another possibility that they would try to build towers.
Build towers,
which
correct.
Which, of course, would be quite a nuisance to everyone in the area.
Right. Yeah. Especially if we're talking about these towers, and I keep going back to the number of jets that we're talking about. It just seems absurd, and I can't even imagine the cost of doing something like that. I don't know, to build towers with red lights on them.
To power them, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. There was a pilot at the last meeting, and he said, that wouldn't even work anyway. He said, when you have a flight plan, a path to land, it doesn't say avoid the light tower with the red light on it. You actually have to cut everything down in order to, as they did at the southern end of the runway. You mm-hmm. really have to cut everything down, and that's really the only option is to just remove everything. If you really want to do this and come in compliance and build a 6,000 or 7,000 foot runway, you're going to have to. It's a big problem. Now, plus, they'll have to close 9H and Route 66 probably. So I don't know if they've considered all. I'm not sure they've considered the cost of moving 9H.
Right. Now, Michael, the proposal that Ken Dow made mm-hmm. was that actually a modification of the Parika plan?
No, that's pretty close the Parika plan was generally made to say, if we own the property to the south of the airport, why aren't we thinking about pushing it back and then eliminating a lot of the easement issues on the north mm-hmm. side? And I think where the big error was back in 87 when the runway was lengthened from 3,500 feet to 5,300 feet, the easement issue should have been tackled then, and it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one reason why we had that.
Is there anything that was covered at the meeting you think that needs to be brought up here that we missed?
No, I really think, I will say that we're just really excited that we were able to convince. I do believe that it was the many letters. I want to thank everybody, if you're listening out there, everyone that is on GentCan and everyone that wrote letters and called their supervisors. I mean, this was, I think, a pretty much a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that...
it did appear that way, yeah.
Yes, and before the election and when we understood that, Art Basson did come up with the plan, a resolution that everything would be put on hold until they had more information and until our FOIL request was answered. And the Board of Supervisors voted strictly along party lines before the election last year to say, no, we're going to move forward. And then the other issue was that Ghent didn't even have representation at that level.
Right.
And there was a huge outrage among everyone in Columbia County, not just Ghent. I mean, I was copied on hundreds of letters. And so I do know that the supervisors, Mr. Grattan, I spoke to him myself, and many of the other supervisors, I assume, received these letters. And Ken Flood, I was copied on many of them, not all of them, but I was copied on, over 100 of them. So I do think they heard us, and they're paying attention, and I think that it's a right. They're elected officials. They actually work for us. And these are questions that should have been answered many years ago. And people out in the community, I talk to people all the time. I get phone calls and emails from people. Everyone just wants, more open government. They really want to understand what's going on, and
mm-hmm.
It does appear that there's some sort of secret when you don't come forward with this information. I'm not saying there is a secret or there's a secret plan, but it's really frustrating. I've been extremely frustrated that I've had to, go to the extremes that we've had to do, plus hire an attorney,
mm-hmm.
because we were told by the county attorney's office, by Mr. Brent Stack, who works for the county attorney's office, told me I had to hire an attorney if I wanted this information, which is an outrage
mm-hmm.
that we would have to do that. It's really not the way it's supposed to be, but I do believe they will listen. I get upset with the apathy that sometimes I see out there. I know it's frustrating. I get frustrated every day, but
we
keep at it.
You do, and of course, the point is that it's not just about you property owners in the area of the airport, but about all of us in the county who, of course, pay taxes.
Exactly.
Because no matter how much the FAA kicks in for any proposal, there'll still be a tax consequence for the rest of us.
That's absolutely correct. And we've, of course, been accused because we live next to the airport that we're NIMBYs and we only
right.
care. But people that know me, those are just a few people saying that, because the people that know me know that it's about much more than that. And it's about fiscal responsibility. And many of these guys are supposed to be fiscally conservative. And I don't really see that. And I'm not in favor, just because the money's there, I'm not in favor of spending it, especially spending it on something that is not going to benefit all of us and all of us as a community.
Well, as a side note, since I've moved to the county, one of the things I've learned about Republicans up here is that they really like government money quite a bit.
Well, that's what I think too, and I'm a registered Democrat,
right.
But it seems to me that I feel that I'm much more fiscally conservative than many of the Republicans that I see around here. And I don't quite understand that, because we do care about where tax dollars go, and we want it to be spent in a very thoughtful and proper economic development plan going forward.
There was an economic development study done a couple of years back that was published, and Art Basson had mentioned that it was about the agricultural nature of the county, and there was a list
tourism
of many things, tourism, and there wasn't, the only thing that was mentioned was the flight school,
mm-hmm.
not the commercial viability of the airport.
Right.
And I would like to just say one last thing. You know, we know Malin Richards and Rich Moore. They've been good neighbors. We support them. We never wanted to close the airport. I've also heard out in the community people say, oh, they just want the airport to close. That's not the case. It's never been the case. We have no problem whatsoever with the airport. We do have a problem. We've used the airport ourselves, and we like the flight school. We're happy with that. We just think that there should be full disclosure on what's going on, because they're not just, it is a private company, but they're renters on public property. And we and Mayla knows that. We have a very good relationship with them, and I would like to get that out there, too.
Yes,
that
no, as I tried to suggest earlier, he does seem to be a really charming man.
He is.
One last question. Your acronym stands for Citizens Against Noise Nuisance.
Yes.
How's the noise these days?
there's no noise from the airport. And this all actually Gent Can started a couple of years ago when there was the potential of a motocross track going into the Metagreens property. And how it started. Yeah. So
It wasn't about planes.
It wasn't about, so it didn't even start because of this. Okay. So it's been sort of evolved into a couple of other things. And then we were really instrumental in the TCI explosion that happened in Ghent. And so the issues, Ghent has had a fair share of issues in 2013. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping 2014 is, things will calm down in Ghent. But I'll keep Ghent Can going. We kept the name, and it's really been great. A lot of people subscribe, and we, you know, have a good dialogue, so.
Well, Patty Matheny and Mike Schramm, thank you very much for being on and saving this show, since the first half was a disaster.
Yeah.
It is my first, and I hope it gets better. Thanks for being on the show. I appreciate it a lot, and I hope we cleared up whatever I obfuscated in the first half.
No, thank you. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Well, there you have it, folks. That was Patty Matheny and Mike Schramm. Or Michael Schramm. I'm not sure. I didn't get the permission to call him Mike. And yes, this is the end of the first, hopefully not the last, episode edition of We the People. It's important to remind you, since we were unable to play the audio of that meeting, that the full audio will be available on the website, WGXC.org. And why is it there? Because you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Hudson, Acre, and Catskill. And WGXC.org if you're streaming on your computer. Once again, I want to remind you that on January 8th, there'll be the next meeting in this ongoing issue of the airport expansion or safety zone expansion. That's at 3 p.m. on January 8th. And the CNS, the consulting engineers, will have their say, and we'll see if they are willing to come up to the plate, so to speak, and come up with a proposal that satisfies everyone, as if that's possible. Meanwhile, my next show is on the 16th, I believe, and I will have the state senator from the district on the other side, from most of or a good portion of Greene County. So once again, I'm even hesitant to tell you who I am because the first half of the show was such a disaster. But I am Tom DiPietro, and I welcome your criticism, welcome suggestions. The first half of the show did catch me off guard a little bit, but I think our guests were helped save that show. In the meantime, you're listening once again to WGXC 90.7, and please stay tuned.